Today I'm proclaiming the word of God from the Acts reading, Acts chapter 7, verses 55 to 60. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, through your word, fill us with your Spirit, so that in receiving your grace, we may be gracious in how we pray for others. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the great chapters of the Bible is Romans chapter 8, where St. Paul proclaims that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, where he proclaims that we have received a spirit of adoption so that we can cry out to God, Abba, Father, where he proclaims that the sufferings of the present time are not worth comparing to the glory that is about to be revealed in us, and where he proclaims that all things work together for good for those who love God. But today I'm going to start with a quote from the last part of Romans chapter 8 that focuses our attention on Christ Jesus, not only on what he did for us, but on what he is doing for us now. Hearing these words will help us in our meditation on today's reading from Acts. So let's listen closely. This is from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who indeed intercedes for us, St. Paul writes, who speaks up for us, who uses his authority, his status, his holiness, his life, not to belittle us or to shame us or to condemn us, but to plead for us before the Father and to assure us that nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God that is in him, in Christ Jesus, that is in the one who intercedes for us. Christ Jesus as intercessor was not for St. Paul simply a nice image or a pleasant and pious idea that he imagined. It was something that he experienced firsthand from what he saw in the Christian community, and not from what he saw when he himself was a Christian, but from what he saw when he was someone who was far from faith in Christ, who stood by in approval of the murderous persecution of the first martyr of the church, the deacon Stephen. And that brings us to today's reading, the martyrdom of St. Stephen. Today's reading from Acts is the culmination of two chapters of the book, chapters 6 and 7, that start with a conflict in the church. Now let's pause here and note this. The great witness of Stephen, what we are about to hear, has its direct genesis in a conflict in the church. We should keep this in mind when we are tempted to become despondent when we experience ourselves conflict in the church. What God can do with conflict, the ultimate good he can bring from it, goes beyond our human capacity to imagine. Now, the conflict back in Acts chapter 6 was evidently between different ethnic groups in the early church, between those who were from a Greek-speaking background and those from an Aramaic-speaking background. There was at least perceived unfair treatment of the Greek-speaking widows in the daily distribution of food. And to deal with the problem, seven men of good standing who were full of the Spirit and wisdom were chosen to serve in the ministry of justice for the poor in the early church. One of those ministers chosen, one of those deacons, was Stephen, who, as Scripture says, was full of grace and power, and who did wonders and signs among the people. He proclaimed God's word with power from the Spirit, and this led to opposition, it seems, especially from the Greek-speaking Jews. This led to Stephen's arrest and his being brought before the council. It is in this sort of trial before the council that Stephen proclaims the work of God for his stiff-necked people, that is, for his people so easily tempted towards idolatry. After recounting God's work for his people, beginning with Abraham and on to the patriarchs and to Moses, we get the words that immediately precede today's reading. Let's listen. So Stephen is saying these words to the council. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are forever opposing the Holy Spirit, just as your ancestors used to do. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They killed those who foretold the coming of the righteous one, and now you have become his betrayers and murderers. You are the ones that received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you have not kept it." Hard words to hear, and what human being could say that they are able in themselves to keep God's law in its fullness? It's after this that we hear the reading, the words from today's reading. "But filled with the Spirit, Stephen gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." St. Stephen sees the heavens opened. This is something that we first heard about at the baptism of Jesus. There the heavens are opened and Jesus is proclaimed as the beloved Son of the Father, the one in whom the Father is well pleased. But now with Stephen, we see Jesus at the right hand of God, the place of honour and power and authority. This is something that Jesus himself said would happen, as we receive in the account of Jesus' trial in St. Luke's Gospel. Listen to these words from Luke chapter 22. "When day came, the assembly of the elders and the people, both chief priests and scribes, gathered together, and they brought him to their council. They said, 'If you are the Messiah, tell us.' He replied, 'If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I question you, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God.'" Notice one difference, however, in detail. Jesus says that he will be seated at the right hand of God. And this is indeed what we confess in the Apostles' Creed. He is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. But St. Stephen sees Jesus standing. What's going on here? One opinion is that Jesus is standing as a witness to Stephen. That Stephen's words are true. That Stephen is a reliable witness. In this understanding, our Lord stands as an advocate for St. Stephen. That although Stephen is about to suffer death at the hands of mortal human beings, the Lord Jesus, who died, who lives, stands before the Father, pleading the cause of his servant, Stephen. Now it's Stephen's proclamation of Christ standing at God's right hand that leads to the final murderous opposition. "But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. They covered their ears. They did not want to hear the proclamation of the gospel. And their deaf witness leads to murder, to the martyrdom of St. Stephen. Note who they lay their cloaks at the feet of. At the feet of Saul. That is the one who we will know as St. Paul, the great witness of Christ to the nations. Now the reading reaches its climax. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. Now note that Stephen follows the example of his master. He follows the example of his master in his body language, in his posture. Our Lord Jesus, on the night before he died, on the Mount of Olives, St. Luke records, knelt down in prayer. Here we have Stephen also kneeling down. Our Lord Jesus, when he faced murderous opposition, when he was crucified, did not curse but interceded for those who harmed him. In Luke 23 we read these words, part of the tradition handed down to us. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." St. Stephen, like his master, in death, intercedes before God for the enemies of Christ and his church. His Christian witness is in his intercessory prayer for salvation, not condemnation. The very next verse after our reading, not part of the reading in the lectionary, but good for us to hear, the very next words are simple and loaded with significance. "And Saul approved of their killing him." The one who would become St. Paul approved of their killing Stephen. St. Stephen's martyrdom marks the beginning of Saul's persecution of the church. St. Paul's path that takes him on the road to Damascus, where he will have an encounter with the living Christ, where he will have the understanding that God loves the world and proves his love in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and that the one who died now lives and intercedes for us at the right hand of God. The witness of St. Stephen in his intercession, in his death, was a mark of the Spirit of Christ at work in the church, at work also then in the ministry of St. Paul, and at work among us who call out to God as Father and who pray in Jesus' name. Dear Christian brothers and sisters, what a life of freedom we have. The freedom of knowing that Christ intercedes for us. That we can come before God our Father, rightly trusting that in Christ there is no condemnation. That in Christ we can make use of the gift of holiness as we intercede for others, as we pray for them. Not because they deserve it, but because God has been gracious to us who did not ourselves deserve his love. God has been gracious to us so that we also may be gracious with others. No doubt there are people who have hurt you, maybe even for your confession of Christ. You are free. We are free not to be burdened by anger or bitterness or the desire for revenge. Like St. Stephen, like our Master, the Lord Jesus, we are free to intercede and to see the work of God transforming our world. God, who revealed himself and his love in Christ Jesus, who intercedes for us, bringing light where there is darkness, hope where there is despair, bringing forgiveness where there is sin, and bringing life where there is death. May God grant this life among us also, for Jesus' sake. Amen.